Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Well, any opportunity I get to spend with Jody McDonald, I relish. Jody Mack, welcome back.
First things first, let me apologize. I was supposed to be on a half an hour earlier, and my wife had me out shoveling for 2 hours, and I came in and laid down for 10 minutes, which turned into an hour and a half nap. So I apologize to you. My apologies. I shouldn't be out shoveling. I'm an idiot. What can I tell you?
Hey, you know what? Doesn't bother us in the least. I already did my driveway too, so here, you know, so we're fine. I tried to take care of my driveway too. It's all good. All right, so let's depress the passengers. Let's talk about the Eagles. Look, you watch this. When did you start to get an inkling that this was not the same kind of juggernaut that we saw last year? Was it September, October, or was it when everything caved?
No, I was guilty like far too many, apparently, with the results now in, those who were saying when they were 10-1, yeah, but. I'm going, don't give me yeah, but. They won 10 out of 11 games. All right, they're not winning them in impressive fashion the way you want. Who cares? Wins are wins are wins. When they lost to the 49ers, I thought the 49ers were actually better than the Eagles this year, so I wasn't shocked. When they went down and lost to Dallas, Dallas had won 15 in a row straight at home. Okay, fine. Maybe they're not as dominant as I thought, but they're right there with anybody else in the league. When they lost to the Arizona Cardinals at home, and Jonathan Gannon coming back, being able to poke the Eagles in the eye and making the running game look like it was one of the best in the National Football League. James Conner, I'm sorry, he's not O.J. Simpson. He looked like O.J. Simpson that day. But yeah. I said, uh-oh, yeah, maybe everybody was right. Maybe this isn't as good a team as we thought they were, and they just continued to spiral thereafter.
So now you've been searching for reasons like everybody else. What have you been able to at least put your finger on as to a reason or two as to what we saw down the stretch?
I think there's good news and bad news. The good news is that it was a team loss. The bad news is that it was a team loss. It is everybody. No, nobody gets a pass from me. The coaching was poor. The quarterback play wasn't up to snuff. The roster on the defensive side, which I questioned coming into the season, just got progressively worse. They made a foolish decision, a panic decision, to pull the plug on Sean Desai. Now, do I think Desai would have gotten it figured out and their defense would have improved late in the season? No, they were destined to be that bad because they just didn't have enough talent, but that seemed to hit at the core of the team, that they just didn't like the fact that they had let their coach down and cost him his job, and it was kind of a domino effect that just made things even worse. So if you're looking for just one area to blame, I'm sorry, it's not there, because there's about 8 or 9 areas to blame. So they got a lot of work to do during this offseason.
Father Time, of course, is undefeated. Did some of the older players start to get older as this went?
I'm dreadfully afraid that that is James Bradberry, who they made a nice 3-year contract offer to during the offseason. He accepted to stay, making above and beyond $10 million per year. And he just looked like he got old before our very eyes. He was Pro Bowl level, All-Pro level, which is better than Pro Bowl level, mm-hmm. last year. And he became one of the most targeted cornerbacks in all of the National Football League with the worst pass percentages, completions, and quarterback rating against them. I did not see that coming. So when I chastise the Eagles for making that decision, I would have made the same exact one. So shame on me too. I don't know what they're going to do with Bradbury. Because if you cut him, it's going to be a pretty bad cap hit. You got to live with it, and you got to find somebody who's going to be better than him, which might not be all that tough with the way he played this year. But he was the guy who stuck out like a sore thumb. And they've got guys who are older than James Bradbury,
yeah,
who stayed the course better than he did. But he was just, he was abysmal this year.
So what is your view on Nick Sirianni?
I think he's going to stay. They're having the big powwow today. He, Jeff Lurie, Howie Roseman. I think the only way that he gets fired at this stage is if he fires himself. That if he goes in and doesn't have any answers for what the hell happened and how this team fell apart as badly as they did. If he objects to changes that the powers that be want to make and he tries to fight the fight like Doug Peterson did a couple of years after he won the Super Bowl, then, yeah, he could get himself fired. But the fact that they didn't do it immediately after the game, supposedly reports are he was included in the conversations and making the phone calls for prospective new coaches to be added to the roster, to the coaching staff, once they make the changes that they're going to make there. That points to them wanting him to be the head coach. So the only way at this stage I think he goes if he screws it up and makes himself a fireable guy.
What then of the coordinators? Stay, go, what's your opinion?
Well, I don't think there's any way you're bringing back either Desai or Patricia. They have to make a change on defense, and hopefully it's a change in the entire system. They've been tied to the Fangio system the last couple of years, and sure, they weren't good enough under John McGannon to get them to a Super Bowl, but it just drastically fell apart this year. And I think there are just too many teams in the league that play it now. When Fangio first instituted what he was doing, not that many teams were doing it, so it was very effective. But now that seems like almost half the teams in the league are playing some kind of Fangio defense, I think it's too well known. And I don't think it's near, I know it's not as effective as it was a couple of years ago. So I hope they bring in a new coordinator who brings in a whole different way of doing things. Now on offense, I know that the offensive coordinator has a great relationship with Jalen Hurts, and they've known each other since Jalen was a kid, and I do believe that was a big reason why he ended up getting the gig. That should be a good thing. Maybe it's the exact opposite. Maybe it's a bad thing.
Right.
That maybe he just couldn't coach Jalen up or be hard on Jalen when Jalen was making mistakes or not getting things right. If it were me, I'd be looking to change out both coordinators. The defense is a given that it's happening. The offense, I think, is kind of like with Sirianni. A coin toss could go either way. I think they would be better advised to just clean out both of their coordinators, get a fresh start on both offense and defense.
Well, and then that brings us to Jalen Hurts. Why did he, in some ways, regress this year, besides an injury or two here or there? But why was there a step back in how he played, especially in turnovers?
Here's my theory, and that's all that it is a theory. And I'm not going to say I'm on an island by myself, but I know I'm not in the majority. I think they put too much on Jalen Hurts' plate this year. Twice in the second half of the season, Brian Johnson, when asked to do his Tuesday coordinators meet the media thing, when people were asking him questions, borderline complaining about the Eagles don't run the ball enough, he said, you guys realize that on every play we've got options. That it could be, when we break the huddle, it could be a pass, it could be a run. And there are options to the offense, which means to me, Jalen is the one who's deciding on whether they're running or passing the ball. And Jalen is given a lot of freedom to change plays even after they've broken the huddle. And he just didn't make those right calls, and he didn't make those right reads pre-snap, and that's why I think their offense was well way less effective in the second half of the year. I just think he had a bad year reading the defenses, and they left it up to him. They had faith in him. Shoot, they proved that by giving him $250 million during the offseason, and either he wasn't seeing it or they were asking him to do too much. But I think that Jalen had a poor year, and it was on his decision-making more than anything else.
And they put more pressure on him this year.
Yep.
I'm talking about defenses. And it just seemed like he did not have the ability to know exactly where all the chess pieces were in the field because he was rushed.
The last couple of games against they're going to be blitzing defense with the New York Giants, and their defensive coordinator's desire to blitz, and then Tampa the same exact thing. Yeah, the offense struggled mightily. They didn't have answers for it. Their success against the blitz was brutally bad, and that's on both coaching and on the player. Because if he can't see where the blitz is coming from and adjust on the fly and be able to get the ball exactly where he needs to, it's not going to be a successful play. So, again, combination effort, coaching, and player performance was a absolute nightmare for the Eagles the last couple games of the season.
They also went from 70 sacks as a defense to 43, the ability to put pressure. What did you think of that element, and what do you think of the three younger Georgia players?
Great question. And sure enough, that was about it. Besides Devontae Smith, the defensive line pressure was the only other thing that worked in the final game. They actually started getting to the quarterback again. They got to Mayfield. I think they had three sacks, and they pressured him plenty. It was nice to see the return of defensive pressure from the Eagles. Didn't do them enough good, and they lost the game significantly, but they at least did show back up the last game. I thought it was a bad year for the defensive line. If you want to start in the middle with the two Georgia guys, they're both very talented, and they deserve to go where they went in the draft. And Jordan Davis was better last year than this year, which is an issue. And Jalen Carter got off to a phenomenal start but seemed to level off, if not run out of gas. That, again, goes back to coaching. That the Eagles, although they will tell you how their way of less is more practice, is a good thing because it keeps them from getting injured. And they pointed to that heavily last year, and they had a pretty damn successful injury free season. This year it didn't work as much. Guys were getting hurt in the games, and they looked like a team that didn't practice enough to me.
Right.
And I know there's regulations, and they've collectively bargained away the amount of time that you can practice and the level of practice you can have. But even at the minimums, the maximums that the NFL has set, the Eagles do less. They don't want to take any chances, and they don't want to put their players in precarious positions. All right, you may not get them hurt, but they might not be prepped and prepared and ready to go and game ready when Sunday rolls around. And I think they paid a significant price for that this year. And the two Georgia youngsters in the middle may be the two that you would point to most. That because they had some injuries, shockingly, in games, they were down some numbers, so they were asked to play more snaps than they ever did at Georgia for sure,
right.
And they just weren't physically ready to be at their highest level on the snaps that they were given this season.
Yep, exactly. Finally, I'll ask you about A.J. Brown. He's a great talent. In your opinion, is that talent worth it to the organization?
Without question. And anyone is suggesting that A.J. Brown should be traded or they should look elsewhere because at times he can be a deterrent. He's a wide receiver in the NFL. He's a superstar wide receiver in the NFL, and he's a diva. Most of them are. A.J. Brown is just like everybody else. All these superstar wide receivers are divas and complain and want the ball more than anyone else. You should have known that when you acquired him. You were hoping to acquire that level of a wide receiver, and you did, and he has been that good, and he has earned the very big paycheck he gets. That, again, on the coaching staff, you know that. You have to be able to deal with that. You have to be able to make sure that anything that he does, says, reacts during the game, takes a tantrum on the sideline, does not have a negative effect on your team. That's completely on the coaching staff, because this didn't come out of left field. If you've got yourself a superstar, top 2, 5, however you want to rank him in the National Football League, you're certainly a top 5 receiver this year. That's part of what you pay for. That's just a given. I would hope that that wasn't the case, but it has been for years. It's not anything that anyone should be surprised by. You saw the offense sag and struggle as badly as they did, as well as Devontae Smith played. If you want to say Devontae filled in for AJ, okay, then who filled in for Devontae? Nobody.
Right.
And they didn't have enough wide receiver depth on the roster. That goes to Howie Roseman. But you can't. This offense would go backwards so much if A.J. Brown were elsewhere. They can't even think about potentially trading him.
I'll say I had to laugh at the answer only because the number of times Jack Ham has talked to me about, Steve, those diva wideouts.
It comes with the territory, and you got to be able to deal with it. The Eagles did not do a good job of dealing with it.
Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it so much. Anytime we get to spend with you, and hopefully the driveway looks good.
Steve, when next you have me, I promise not to sleep through the time that I'm supposed to be on. Thanks for adjusting your schedule to get me on today.
You're the best. Thanks so much, Jody.
You got it, bud.
Jody McDonald, Jody Mack on the show. Give you some Eagles perspective. This is where we need Matt to come on the show and find out how depressed he is about all that.
We should probably wait and find out how the meeting goes.
Well, he's in the meeting, so. All right. I want to be there. I'm like, okay. Great to have Jody Mack on the show. He is phenomenal, as always. Richard Deitch wrote a story right before New Year's on Hubie Brown. Hubie Brown has done the NBA for decades after being a terrific coach in his own right. He's 90 years old now. Can any of you tell he's 90 years old? Can any of you?
When you look at him, but other than that, no, not
right.
When he's talking.
Right. He says that his philosophy is simple. Never underestimate the IQ of the audience. Exactly. So before I do a telecast, I make sure I've seen the two teams play their last two games. The reason for that is I want to be current about injuries, the new starting group, and to see how they are running their substitutions. Plus, I want to evaluate how they react in the last 5 minutes of a game about what they're running under pressure and out-of-bounds plays. So we're not only a national broadcast, but we're also on in 215 countries. It's a lot of pressure. So we need to be current and speak about what we think can happen and then what happens and then discuss it. So I never want to go into a telecast and not be prepared about where a team is, where the injuries are, what the problems are. I try to speak to people in the audience exactly like I'm talking to my assistant coaches and to the players in the huddle when they're taking a timeout. So we owe you why are things happening. See, that's Jack Ham. He's always telling you why. Dick Girardi, always telling you why. And when things happen, we want to go back up that backup for you, because never once do I underestimate the IQ of the audience. Can't do that. Dave Pash says, I learn something from Hubie every game. He says, and he does a great job of pulling him aside at the first commercial break and asking him if he has enough room to operate as the play-by-play guy. He said he also does a great job of looking at the important stats on a box score that stand out to him. He said it gives me a sense as to what is important and what isn't. He says his philosophy on life comes from his dad. His dad, who worked his mom worked in Elizabeth, New Jersey. His dad worked in the Kearney shipyards, where they made destroyers and battleships that went over to Europe. Said his dad was a foreman. His crew would take those ships and drop them off the different bases up and down the eastern seaboard, because those ships were going over to Europe for the Second World War. Said about 2 years after the war ended, the shipyard closed, so my dad was unemployed. So it always was imprinted in my brain what he said. You were always a half step from the street. So the Kearney shipyards reopened. He had 19 years in already. He goes back, and then 5 to 6 months later, they closed the shipyard. Jobs were tough. And this man with incredible pride walked the streets for 8 months and couldn't find a job. He finally became the janitor at my high school, St. Mary's, in Elizabeth. I was in the seventh grade, and he told me, "Chief, I want you to remember for the rest of, your life, no matter how good life is going for you, just remember you're a half step away from the street." And he still thinks about that today, despite the fact he's had a phenomenal life and career.
That advice might be more true now than it was back then.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. So, it was a great story about him. Great story. Yeah. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
For the last 8 hours, the suit's been at Brewers Outlet. Is there something we should know? No? Just asking for friends. Well, you should go to Brewers Outlet now. Stock up for the weekend. 4 NFL playoff games. Basketball tomorrow. Penn State, Ohio State at noon. And I'll put it on 1070. Drive over. Yeah, I don't know how bad the roads are right now. Here they're pretty good. They're not bad here, but I can't judge how they are in the valley.
I would call them better than they were Tuesday.
Okay, good. All right, same story here. No, they're definitely better here than they were Tuesday. And imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. 6 great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the wonderful Barrels and Dills, my two favorites. Indeed, second to none. It is all at the Great Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We'll get the king on in a few moments. I'm sure he's raring to go with picks. I don't know how any of us did last week. Todd kind of guessed at where he was last week. If you were to ask me, I would have to guess as well. By the way, our thanks to Jody McDonald and Adam Rittenberg for being on the show today. We have John Griffin coming up on Monday. Looking forward to that. Always love talking to John. Tremendous. And, yeah, so that's what we have along the way. And then we will then get to the big picks. We got to pick. What are we picking? 4 games this weekend? That makes sense?
Sounds about right.
Yeah. 4 games this weekend. That's where we are now. 4, 2, and then a week off, and then 1. All right. Here we go. It's, and for the first time ever, Patrick Mahomes will have to play a game in somebody else's stadium in the playoffs. Wow. It's quite a run when the first time is after you've been to 3 Super Bowls.
Hey, I have the king on the line.
Huh. Gang, what's going on? Do you have any idea what our standings are at this point?
Well, I can guarantee I'm not winning. So.
Oh, that's just brutal.
Yeah, I have an idea. Todd, let's see. Okay, last week the playoff picks, you were 4-2, Todd was 3-3, I was 2-4. Does that sound right?
I guess.
Yeah, because he was the only one that took the Buccaneers.
Well, have you watched the last month and a half?
I guess I should have watched more.
I mean, have you watched the last month and a half? I think I was the only one that took Detroit, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Everyone's waiting for the Eagles to snap out of it, but they never did. So,
well, I mean,
I think their weakness is they lost Sanders, and that he was their go-to guy last year when things weren't going well. He took over in the second half, and they don't have that anymore. So,
well, and
careful
on top
with
of
the trade,
yeah. Well, that was free agency. They didn't re-sign him. All right, so we've got 4 games to pick this weekend. How about that?
That's why they're general managers, though. So. Anyway, I think the coach is fine. They just didn't play well. Was Hurts hurt?
Hey, his finger was hurt, right? And I know he banged up his knee a little bit, but I think it's nothing to do with, like, his issue to me at times was when they did all-out blitzes, which is what the Giants and Buccaneers do. Didn't see the field well enough to make plays.
You're right.
Yeah, you know, and I think that was a big issue for him.
Yeah, it's just I've been following him since college. You know, when he went to Oklahoma, he was always a big game player. You know,
yeah,
and he'd make plays. Great players make great plays, and he didn't do that this year. So
no, he did not. Threw more interceptions than ever. I felt that Bradbury got old before our eyes. Slay was okay. Fletcher Cox at the end did some good things, but he's still an older player. Brandon Graham is an older player. Kelsey's an older player. I mean, experience is great, but again, Father Time with a perfect record, undefeated.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I've never seen a season where it's wide open. Wide open, you know. Most of the teams had to play right up to the last week. You know, they couldn't take the week off.
Right.
It's really the other years. Remember, was it Peyton Manning with the Colts? And they took the last 2 weeks of the season off and got knocked out the first week of the playoffs.
Yeah. So, yeah. And that never made sense to me. The reason it didn't make sense to me is I want to keep my team sharp, so I would play them the first half and maybe the first possession of the second half, and then I'd sit them down.
Yeah. I mean, in recent history, you can look at the Giants when they won, beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. They had to play, what, four games on the road to make it, you know? Yeah. Who was the last one? Tampa Bay. Although Tampa Bay, when Brady won, that was a pandemic year. So that wasn't – that was kind of a weird – there were no fans in the stands. There were, you know. But they did the same thing. They had to keep playing and playing to make it all the way. So,
And that's always important. All right. So we will take a break. We'll break down the games for this weekend for you in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sue was looking for some extra money. He drove up to Buffalo. He's shoveling out the stadium. They gave him Section 12. I mean, he's a go-getter. Very impressive. Problem they have is that he actually isn't there. He sent his kid there. It's like, well, what are we doing? All right. So let's get to some games, and let's break the games down. We still have the king there. I hear him.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. So what's the
first
game?
Enjoying your commentary.
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody has to. So what's game one here?
Texans versus the Ravens.
The Texans are playing really well. I like C.J. Stroud. That being said, I think the Ravens right now are the favorite, and I have to go with the Ravens.
Stroud's playing terrific football, and it's a young team that D'Amico Ryans has done a great job with. It is also, the Ravens have been sitting there waiting, so let's just see if there's any initial rust coming out of the gate. Baltimore is as well-rounded a team, and I'm also interested to see if Mark Andrews plays this weekend, maybe even just a little bit, although likely has been terrific at tight end for them. They have big play guys. Lamar is completely different than anybody else out there. And I think that this game goes to Baltimore on their home field.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. And the Ravens, I just think Houston is close, really close, but they're young. The head coach makes a big deal. He's been there, done it, won a Super Bowl, done it, been in the playoffs a lot. And the quarterbacks, they're not equal. They're both very good, but one is incredibly good. So I got Baltimore.
I'll say this. The Texans quarterback has a better winning percentage of the postseason than the Ravens quarterback. That's the crazy thing. But, yeah. That's game one.
It's just experience. That's the only difference between the two teams is experience.
And by the way, what did all six teams that won last weekend have in common? They all scored first and played with the lead. I talk about that all the time. Playing with the lead, especially in postseason, is so important. All six teams that won last week scored first, played with the lead, and won. All right.
Just a sidebar. There's a girl on WEEI who on the sports show I listen to in the morning out of Boston, and they would interview Belichick every week. And she said, is it almost on purpose that you would be behind by 7 points that you're a better play from behind team than you are than our player with the lead? And he said, we don't want to lose at all, Courtney. It's such a stupid question. They keep replaying it all the time. But you don't ask Belichick stupid questions.
Well,
no, we want to play with the lead. We don't do it on purpose.
Yeah, and again, Todd Bowles got asked one of those questions this week, the head coach at Tampa. He was asked about preparing Tampa for the conditions of Detroit.
Yeah,
it's so cold.
I heard it.
And he very politely said, well, it's okay. We play in a dome. The only time we're out in the elements will be when we go from the bus to the locker room.
He was so good. I mean, he just kind of, he didn't want to hurt her feelings. You know?
That's right.
God, you people do your homework, you know?
Well, somebody said that she was a news person filling in for a sports person. Well, if you're you're in that spot, what don't you do? Ask a question.
Yeah,
don't ask any questions.
You know, I don't really care what her deal was, but she should have at least researched her question, you know, before she asked it. You know?
Don't ask.
I heard her ask the question, and I was like, "They play indoors. What's the difference?" You know.
But, I know. It was different.
I love Todd Bowles. He's a different type of coach.
Yep, done a good job. All right,
a real good job.
Which one's next?
The Green Bay Packers versus the San Francisco 49ers.
Wow.
Yeah, I really liked how the Packers played on the road against the Cowboys, obviously, last week. It's hard to get away from, but if Baltimore's the most well-rounded team, San Francisco is probably the second most well-rounded team, and when they play to their capabilities, they're probably 1A to the Ravens right now, so I got to go with the 49ers.
Look, same thing with the 49ers. How rusty are they, especially with Purdy? He's the key to the whole thing, because when he is on, boy, are the 49ers really good. And they've got just so many weapons. I mean, Ayuk and Samuel and McCaffrey and Kittle and an offensive line, and defensively, you know, Bosa and Warner and Greenlaw. I mean, they're just really good. And I think that they will beat Green Bay by 10 to 17 points. But it's not because Green Bay isn't very good. Green Bay is good, and they're going to be a threat in the years to come. Just Saturday night's not the night.
I haven't seen Purdy win a big game. And I love Brock Purdy. I love the story. I also like Love. And Love stopped a girl was stuck in a parking lot this past week in the snow, and Love stopped and helped her out. You know, and she was in Green Bay. Everybody knows the team, and she says, "Are you Jordan Love?" He goes, "Yeah. Yes, I am." Yeah. And he helped her get out of the snow. I mean, so for that reason, I'm taking Green Bay. I mean, okay, they beat the crap out of the Cowboys. They didn't just beat them.
Well, yep.
They beat them to death. And he's playing very well. So I'm going to go on a limb and take Green Bay.
Same
every
thing
year
happened.
There's a team that just kind of peaks at the right time, and I think it's some. So.
Yeah, no, the same thing happened. Somebody gets stuck, and the suit was there, and he called his son to dig her out. It was really great. So nothing like it. Okay, now let's get to Sunday.
This is the tightest game, I think. The Bucks and the Lions.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a tough one. What do you got, Todd?
Well, you know, I took the Rams last week because I didn't know if the Lions were ready for that, you know, kind of ready for this position quite yet. But I feel like they are. They've played real well. They're at home. I kind of like Dan Campbell's ability to I like his gambler instincts. I'm not sure how good this Eagles team is, you know, and Tampa Bay played well against that Eagles team Monday. I just think the Lions are better right now.
Key's going to be whether Baker Mayfield can throw against the secondary, because the secondary for Detroit's very much up and down. But Detroit's ability to run the ball, play action, and playing at home, it gets loud in that place. And I'm going to go with Detroit. As you know, I've been on Detroit for a while. So.
Yeah, I love Campbell. I love the story. The Bucks. I mean, hats off to Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
You know, he had a great, great year. I think it'll be a tight game, but I think Detroit with the home court advantage gets it done.
Which brings us to the Bills and the Chiefs.
Yippee.
Well, first off, it must be Love if Taylor Swift's willing to go to Buffalo in mid-January, especially with the weather the last 2 weeks. One.
Yeah.
Two. This one is the toughest one because, Josh Allen played so well Monday against the Steelers. You know, they look like the Bills thought we would look most of the season. They're running the ball well with James Cook. You know, it's the first... I think this is the first road playoff game in Patrick Mahomes' career.
It is. It is.
It's going to be interesting to see how the Chiefs' offense handles that. I don't know how good that Miami defense is. It looked like the Chiefs had found some things to do offensively last week. But I think again, going all home teams, I think I like the Bills in this one.
I'm going the Bills. I think this is their moment, their time. The timing's fallen into place. It'll be a lot about turnovers. The one thing about Kansas City that would worry me if I'm a Chiefs fan is the Chiefs have gradually stopped finishing drives and have been relying more on field goals. Buffalo's been finishing drives. I'm going to go with the Bills.
Yeah, they don't have the playmakers. This game, I take it like if the Bills play their A game and the Chiefs play their A game, who wins? The Bills.
Right.
If he doesn't turn, the quarterback doesn't turn, Josh Allen doesn't turn the ball over, the Bills win. I think they win easily. So I got Buffalo.
I'll say this. I mean,
not the
Kansas
same Chief team.
Kansas City, though, can turn you over. I mean, they can.
Oh, yeah.
Their defense has played way... Actually, I think their defense has played better than their offense.
Oh, just for that, you know what? I'm changing my pick because I love the Love story, you know?
Yeah, sure.
I want to keep it going. So just for ha-has, I'm taking the Chiefs and Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, just to make people mad, the people who hate her, just because she's a billionaire.
I don't
understand. A billionaire and her football boy. So
I don't understand why people hate her. I would not go to a concert of hers only because...
Well, I couldn't tell you one song she sings. Wonderful human being. I don't agree with her politics, but as far as a human being... Did you hear what she did with all the truck drivers? She gave everybody a $250,000 bonus.
That's great. It's great.
She's a wonderful person, so I think she's been good for the league this year. And I love it when the Chiefs start dancing on the field. That's just cool. Chiefs.
You're going to need to dance on the field Sunday because you're just trying to keep warm. All right.
Okay.
All right, great weekend.
Enjoy.
Todd, great
talk
weekend to you.
Week.
Okay. You bet. Yep. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.